So good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Connie.
I actually thought of a title for my teaching, because a lot of people ask, and I pirate it. I happen to be reading, you guys, many of you might have this book, Take God at His Word. Mm-hmm. So that's the title of my teaching, is Take God at His Word. So we're going to look at the Word and look at some of the characteristics of God, that God is faithful, God is trustworthy, He doesn't lie, He doesn't change, His love doesn't fail, and He is ever merciful. And there are other characteristics that we'll see today, and there are many other characteristics about God, but in the Word of God. So we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and that word life is life in all of its manifestations. He gave all of that to us. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have God's divine nature. Our greatest need was to have life and to have eternal life. And God supplied that need for us. So God doesn't lie. And last week, we're going to go to Titus chapter 1. Last week, Chris used this verse. We get to hear it again. Titus chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So God doesn't lie, and we had that promise of eternal life, and we have that eternal life. So turn to Numbers chapter 23. Okay. Familiar verse of scripture, a couple verses actually. This is the record of Balaam the prophet, and Balak, who was the king of Moab at the time, asked Balaam to curse the children of Israel, and God tells him not to curse the children of Israel. And the record's very interesting if you ever take the time to really read it and think about it, but we're only going to read toward the end of it. It's not the complete record. And in verse 23, it says, 19, God, and God, this, the word God here is the Hebrew word El, which is essentially, Bullinger says it means the Almighty. So God the Almighty, El is God the Omnipotent One. And then Elohim, which is God the Creator, is God the Creator putting His omnipotence into operation. El is the God who knows all and sees all and that performs all things for His people. So that's the difference. And then you have El Shaddai, which is El is... actually means Almighty, and Shaddai, and God. So its first usage is in Genesis 17 in regards to Abraham, you know, where God tells Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. And it's God, El, not as a source of strength, but of grace, not as a creator, but as the giver. Shaddai is the all-bountiful in power to supply all the needs of his people. So you see a lot of these different words of God in play, and I happen to be using my companion Bible because Bollinger and his companion Bible, when it's L, it's capital G, capital O, capital D, you know, and Jehovah is all caps, it's usually translated Lord. So if you see Lord in all caps, you know that it's that it's the word for Jehovah, God, in relationship to what he's created. So I happen to like reading this because then I don't have to stop and look it up. I know what it is when I look at it. But that's the definition of El here. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You know, so that's what God told Balaam to say to Balak. Balak, of course, wasn't too happy about it. But God doesn't lie. If he says he's going to do it, he does it. We can rest in that and believe it because he never lies. So, and God is faithful and trustworthy. We're going to go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness thou shalt establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. you know, God just keeps repeating himself, you know, and we as human beings need to be repeated to a lot. Mm-hmm. And as many of you know who are parents, how many times have you said to your child the same thing over and over again? You know, well, that's what God does with us. He tells us over and over again that he's trustworthy, he's faithful, he doesn't lie. He's always there for us. In the same psalm, go down to verse 33. It says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Lamentations. Between Isaiah and Jeremiah, then you have Lamentations and Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 21, it says, this I recall to my mind or my heart, therefore have I hope or expectation. It is of the Lord's, and that's Jehovah right here, mercies, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And the word compassions is his tender love. And the tense that it's used in is absolute plural intensive. Mary will appreciate this, you know, absolute plural intensive, because his compassions fail not. They are new or fresh every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the words every morning is a figure of speech, it's called synecdoche, and it's part for the whole. And Bullinger says that it's better translated for always and continually. You know, his faithfulness is fresh every morning, and his compassions, they fail not. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So God is faithful and trustworthy, and God is also willing and able. And Chris mentioned this last week too, you know, that God's ability equals his willingness. He's able and he's willing. Go to Romans chapter 4. And this is in regard to Abraham. Remember back in Genesis, the first usage of El Shaddai was in regard to Abraham. God was talking to Abraham and said, yeah, well, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, you know. He didn't have any kids, so. But in Romans chapter 4, in verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I have written down here Walter's working translation of this verse. I think it's really cool. But he did not doubt the promise of God in unbelief. Instead, he was strong in the right way of believing, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he is able also to do. God says that he does it. You know, and Chris last week talked about believing. We have to believe it. We just have to hide that word in our heart to the point that, like he was talking about, you don't ever think about your name. Your name is your name. You know, you don't think about it. You know it's your name. I want to get to that point where, when it comes to the Word of God, where I know it like that. It is just there, ever present in my heart and in my mind. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Verse 1, I'm sorry. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God, which is Elohim, Most High, unto God, which is El, that performeth all things for me. He does all things for us. We just gotta go and cry unto him. And as Terry prayed today, or said in manifestations, his ears are always open unto our prayers. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding superabundantly all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, and as they say in the vernacular, the sky is the limit. Do not, you know, in my heart and life, it was something that I was thinking about recently, that I don't want to limit God in my life, you know. I just don't want to limit God in my life anymore. So think big. Mm-hmm. Think big. Because God is big. God also freely gives us all things. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Corinthians. Helps if you're in the right book. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He already, you know, he gave us that eternal life. He gave his Son. He'll freely give us all things. And that word freely is, it's a gift of grace, you know, is really what it means. He freely gives us all things. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by of God. So that we know that what God has given to us so freely. James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth it to all men liberally, which is generously. He gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that word upbraideth not means, you know, Walter in the Working Translation has it insulting. It means insulting, or to rebuke, to criticize, or find fault. When we go to God, he gives us wisdom when we go and ask for it generously. And he doesn't look at us and say, like, duh, you should have known that. That was my picture that I had when I read the definition of upbraid and not, you know. God doesn't upbraid us. He just gives it to us freely. So God is trustworthy. He doesn't lie. He's faithful. He loves us. He is willing, he's able, and he freely gives us all things. And we're going to close in Isaiah chapter 55. We've got a couple more, a few more verses to do. Isaiah 55. Chris mentioned last week that God magnified his word above all of his name. So how important is God's word? It's very, very important. Isaiah 55, and verse 11, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring it forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, I'm in verse 10, and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Wow. You know, I mean, just wow. Malachi chapter 3. Last book in the Old Testament. You can stake your life on it. You can take it to the bank. God's word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God doesn't change. You know, we saw in Numbers that he doesn't repent. What he says, he means, and he doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not. Thank goodness for that. 1 Peter 1:25. We'd be in the soup. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Last but not least, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, put the word me in there. This mm-hmm. is the gospel which was preached unto me, unto us. You know, and God had men write down his word so that we could know him. You know, I'm thankful that we live in the time that we do in the age of grace. Can you imagine being in the temple and having to, not being able to read the word, you know. Yet they had the scrolls, but people didn't have Bibles, you know. We have such great blessings to be able to read God's word whenever we want, and to speak God's word whenever we want, to ourselves and to each other and to others who might want to know God, you know. It's our responsibility to speak it. It's his responsibility to do the rest of it. So, you know, in 2 Corinthians, I thought of this one. I'm just going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, I mean, when we believe God's word and do God's word, he gives the glory. Not us. And he will go out of his way to do whatever he needs to do to help us, you know. And I guess that I had read the record of Balaam and Balak and what God did for Balaam, you know, because he told him what to do and he ended up disobeying. So he ended up, you know, God got him out of the soup, told him what he needed to do, you know. But everybody knows the record of the ass talking to him. Well, the ass saw the angel, but Balaam didn't see the angel. So the ass was just like, I'm not going anywhere, you know. I mean, it's pretty funny when you think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and to the point that the ass, like, pushed him up against the wall and hurt his leg, and then he fell down on the ground, you know, and he beats him. But the ass saw the angel standing in the way to prevent them from proceeding, because he wasn't supposed to go with Balak's men. So finally, the ass starts talking to him. So I put myself in Balaam's shoe, and I'm going like, what was he thinking of at that time, you know? What was he thinking, you know? But then he talks back to him, sort of, you know? And then he finally sees the angel, you know? But look what God did for that man, you know, so that his word produced before him. That he's not a man that he should lie, and if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And he was commanded, Balaam was commanded to tell Balak that the children of Israel were blessed and not cursed. And we're blessed. God already has given us all spiritual blessings. So, amen.